I want to apologize to Minister Sean and Vanessa, to Reuben, Hannah and Hava at home. I didn't say hello. So please forgive me. So welcome. And I know you're there watching. So I hope you're going to enjoy the message. So my message today, and I think we've had this pushed into us so much during our parasha reading, but I've turned it a little bit. And I've said, blessed are you because you have the ears that hear and the eyes to see. All through it, we were told they had their eyes blinded, they had their ears blocked. But we are different. We are that set apart remnant that have the ears, the eyes to see and the ears to hear. So let's start with Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17, please. And the taught ones came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answering them said to them, because it has been given to you to know the secrets of the kingdom of the heavens, but to them it has not been given. For whoever possesses, to him more shall be given, and he shall have overflowingly. But whoever does not possess, even what he possesses shall be taken away from him. And because of this I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Yeshayahu is completely fulfilled, which says, hearing you shall hear, and by no means understand, and seeing you shall see, and by no means perceive. For the heart of this people has become thickened, and the ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn back, and I heal them. And blessed are your eyes, because they do see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous ones, or tzaddiks, longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Did you get the key? So Yeshua says that we are blessed. But I want to also speak on Malachim Bet, 2 Kings 6, 17 and 18. Because Elisha, or Elisha as I called him, prayed, and he received what he prayed for. What I'm trying to do today is to encourage you with what we're going through. Because we have eyes to see, we have ears to hear, and we have to act accordingly. And we have to know that Yehovah will guide us and direct us no matter what is in store. We don't have to bow down to man. And so in 2 Kings or Malachim Bet, it says, and Elisha prayed and said, Yehovah, I pray, open his eyes and let him see. And Yehovah opened the eyes of the young man, and he looked and he saw the mountain covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed to Yehovah and said, strike this nation with blindness, I pray. And he struck them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha was a tzaddik, a righteous man, who could hear from Yehovah when he spoke. He was a Navi, or a prophet, and Yah revealed things to him, whereas not many people could hear from Yehovah in those days. Just like not many people are prepared to wait on Yehovah, on Yehovah, and hear what he has to say to them today. In fact, it was Elisha's hearing from Yehovah that actually got him into trouble with the king of Syria, which was the reason for him praying for the young man's eyes to be opened in the first place. But the same Yehovah who could reveal things to Elisha could also supernaturally preserve him and continue to use him despite of any offences that he had committed. When the armies sent by the king of Syria came to capture Elisha, Yehovah had sent forth blindness to their eyes, and they ended up in captivity themselves, not Elisha. So let us look at Jochanan chapter 9, verses 39 to 41. Yeshua said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those not seeing might see, and those seeing might become blind." And those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind too?" And Yeshua said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." To me, this parallels the thought of Elisha opening the eyes of his servant while blinding the eyes of the enemy. Think of this picture of opening the eyes of someone blinding others when I read this verse again for you. Out of Matthew, Matityahu 13:12. "For whoever possesses, to him more shall be given, and he shall have overflowing. But whoever does not possess, even what he possesses shall be taken away from him." We often think of material things when we think of this verse, but it can also apply to our spiritual life. The servant who had learned from Elisha, and when he fretted about trouble and persecution from the Syrian armies, Elisha prayed that his eyes would be opened. The servant was not blind physically, but he was blind spiritually. Like Yeshua's word said, that anyone who has something will be given more, so that he will have plenty. The servant was then gifted with seeing even more than he had seen before. Yet in the sights of the enemy, what they had seen was actually taken away from them. And Yeshua said, "But from anyone who has nothing, even what he does have will be taken away." Now, the Syrian army didn't have their captives yet, but they were blinded, so they didn't get their captives at all. So that explains that verse. Sha'ul did the very same thing Elisha did with his servant in Ephesians 1, 15 to 20. And it says, "For this reason, I too have heard of your belief in the Master Yeshua and your love for all of the set apart ones. Do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the Elohim of our Master Yeshua Messiah, the Father of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you know what is the expectation of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the set apart ones, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who are believing, according to the working of his mighty strength, which he brought in the Messiah when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenlies." Sha'ul used the example of his teachers, the Navaim, who went before him to teach those who were his Talmudim. But it goes further. The very thing that Elisha prayed for his servant to see was the very thing he was blessed to see when Eliyahu was taken up into the heavens. We go to the next slide, please. In Malachim Bate, chapter 2, verses 2 to 12. "And Eliyahu said to Elisha, 'Please remain here, for Yehovah has sent me on to Beit El.' And Elisha said, 'As Yehovah lives, and as your being lives, I do not leave you.' And they went down to Beit El. And the sons of the prophets who were at Beit El came to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that Yehovah is taking away your master from your head?' And he said, 'I also know. Be silent.' And Eliyahu said to him, 'Elisha, please remain here, for Yehovah has sent me on to Jericho.' And he said, 'As Yehovah lives, and as your being lives, I do not leave you.' And they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that Jehovah is taking away your master from you today?" And he said, "I also know. Be silent." And Eliyahu said to him, "Please remain here, for Jehovah has sent me on to the Yarden." And he said, "As Jehovah lives and as your being lives, I do not leave you." And the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance. And while the two of them stood by the Yarden, Eliyahu took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. And it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them passed over on dry ground. And it came to be when they had passed over that Eliyahu said to Elisha, "Ask, what am I to do for you before I am taken away from you?" And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And he said, "You have made it hard to ask. Yet, if you see me when I am taken from you, it is yours. But if not, it is not." And it came to be as they continued on and spoke, that see a chariot of fire with horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Eliyahu went up by a whirlwind into the heavens. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own garments and tore them into pieces. And further down in 2 Kings or Malachim Bait, chapter 6, verse 17, it said, "And Elisha prayed, and he said, Jehovah, I pray, open his eyes and let him see. And Jehovah opened the eyes of the young man, and he looked, saw the mountains covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." If you know the scriptures, you will notice that the same things occurred with Eliyahu and with Elisha, just after they had crossed the Yarden River, after Eliyahu had urged Elisha to stay back at several times beforehand. But Elisha would not stay back. He stayed pressed in to his master. He stuck with him. He would not let him go until the very last minute when he was taken from him. I believe this is a message for us, that we have to stick with Yeshua. We have to stick with the Torah. We have to stick with Jehovah and his word. No matter what happens in these end days, and I believe we are in the end days, that we have to stick by it. It doesn't matter what man can do to us, because like Eliyahu, like Elisha, Yah will protect us and have his way with us, not man have his way with us. Elisha's prayer for his servant's eyes to see the chariots of fire also occurred right after Elisha was at the Yarden River with a group of the Talmudim when the axe head swam. Jehovah places patterns within his word for us to receive a message. I believe he's trying to get across, no matter what is happening, no matter what is happening in our world today, Jehovah wants us to go all the way with no fear. He went to the stake for us. He now sits in heavenly places. The least we can do, if we need to go to the stake ourselves, and then we will sit in heavenly places. I think we have to be prepared. The very same type of chariot of fire that lifted Eliyahu from the world were all around Elisha in the world, and the servant was prayed for that he might see this. Sha'ul prayed that we might see the same power that raised up Mashiach and set him up in heavenly places. We need to have faith to see that we have the power that can overcome all things. In Ephesians 3, verses 2 to 6, it says, "If indeed you have heard the administration of the favor of Elohim that was given to me for you, that by revelation was made known to me the secret, as I wrote before briefly, in reading this, then you are able to understand my insight into the secret of the Messiah, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it now has been revealed by the Spirit to his set-apart emissaries and prophets. The Gentiles to be co-heirs, united in the same body, and partakers together in the promise in Messiah through the good news. Shaul says the emissaries and the prophets in the Messianic community were receiving this revelation at the time. Kepha even said Shaul was getting things from the Ruach of Yehovah in Kepha Bet or 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 14 to 15. He says, so then, beloved ones, looking forward to this, do your utmost to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. Reckon the patience of our master as deliverance, as also our beloved brother Shaul wrote to you, according to the wisdom given to him. The Talmudim, Shaul and his Talmudim, they were concerned for their righteousness and being seen by Yehovah as Yeshua was, without spot and defect. This concern for righteousness does not seem evident to me in our time. Hence the consequences of wars, the rumours of wars, increasing communistic pandemic, lockdowns of our states, forced vaccinations and no longer allowing us to visit family and friends without a jab. The Islamic State taking back Afghanistan, China threatening Taiwan, this is all on our doorstep this very day. And so many people are blind to what is happening. They see the lockdowns and jab for our own good and blame protesters for the spread of the virus. Even Christian church leaders are demanding their people take the jab. But we need to stand firm against this bioweapon. I don't care what any other church leader wants to say. I know that we are not meant to take it. Otherwise, if we do, we will no longer be set apart. We will contain the same graphene oxide within us that everybody else has. We need to be set apart. Because if you take that jab, your blood will never be the same. All those chariots of fire around Elisha that the servant suddenly saw represent the power of Yehovah towards us that raised Yeshua and set him up in heaven. They are still around us today as we follow Yehovah's Torah and keep our eyes on him and not bow down to man. Ephesians 1 chapter verses 4 to 6 says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be set apart and blameless before him in love, having previously ordained us to adoption as sons through Yeshua Messiah to himself according to the good pleasure of his desire, to the praise of the honour of his favour with which he favoured us in the beloved. We have been favoured to be chosen by him. We can only be one with the Messiah if we are set apart, holy unto him and without defect. That doesn't mean that we're perfect, but he sees the perfection in us and he perfects us for Yehovah. That's what we have to depend on. We need spiritual eyes to see our defects. We were each chosen to walk this path in love before the creation of the universe. Each one of us was chosen for this specific time in history to be the sons and daughters of Yehovah. To me, that is a privilege. It doesn't matter what I go through, it will be a privilege. To me, it's a joy to know. All the more in these times to know that we were chosen above so many others, to be set apart and have our eyes wide open. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua unto good works, which Yehovah Elohim prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. All those chariots of fire around Elisha that the servant suddenly saw represent the power of Elohim towards us that raised up Yeshua and set him in heaven. Yehovah pre-planned it way back at the beginning of the world, that we should be without blame, without defect, and that can only be by the glory and the grace of Yehovah. In other words, Yehovah showed Elisha his grace that was so glorious that he put his power upon us according to the power he raised Yeshua to heavenly places. No matter what we go through in these times, our lives need to be lived to the praise and the glory of that kind of grace. But we cannot be to the praise of the glory of Yah's grace if we cannot even see the richness of it all. In Ephesians 1 verses 6 to 7 it says, to the praise of the honour of his favour with which he favoured us in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of his favour. The scripture tells me what I'm saying. The rich or wealth of his grace gave us all of this. Yah's word says we need to be able to see these riches. Riches doesn't mean the riches as the world see it. It doesn't mean that we have Maserati cars, that we have everything in abundance as huge mansions, as servants at the drop of a hat. That's not the kind of richness that Yehovah wants for us. Our richness is being chosen by him to live eternity with him. That's our richness. That's something that can never be taken away. The riches that are seen in this world stay in this world. You can't take them with you. It doesn't matter how much money you've got. It doesn't matter how big a house you've got. It doesn't matter whether you want to pay $20 million for it or what. Well, they're selling houses on the Gold Coast for now. You can't take it with you. It's the richness of his grace that's within you that's important. In Ephesians 1 verses 17 and 18, it says that the Elohim of our Master Yeshua Messiah, the Father of honour, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you know what is the expectation of his calling and what are the riches of the honour of his inheritance in the set apart ones. And in Yochanan chapter 3 verse 3, Yeshua answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, Unless one is born from above, he is unable to see the kingdom of Elohim. And in verse 5, Yeshua answered again, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he is unable to see the kingdom of Elohim. You cannot enter what you cannot first see. You see it, then you enter it. See it is learning about it. In other words, you become aware of how much power you have in your life. Entering it is experiencing it. So it is something planned from the foundation of the earth for you, for everyone watching online, for everyone listening to the podcast. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 10 to 12, it says, to administer at the completion of time, to gather together in one all in Messiah, both which are in the heavens and which are on earth, in him, in whom also we did obtain an inheritance, being previously ordained according to the purpose of him, working all matters according to the counsel of his desire, for us to be the praise of his honour, those having first trusted in the Messiah. This is what our inheritance is, our trust in the Messiah. We didn't earn it, we simply inherited it because we are members of Yehovah's family. How many of you know that heirs simply have to be part of a family to inherit something, and that excludes all work. You don't have to work for your inheritance. It's given to you as being part of a family. It's ours. How do we know if this is speaking of today or we are now in end times? We don't know, because we don't know the day or the hour. But it certainly does seem very close to me. I know people are putting dates on it. People are saying that we've got 7 years left, that 2021 is the first of the 7 years, and in 2027 it'll be the end time, the end day, when Yeshua returns. I don't know. They don't know. Scripture says you do not know the day or the hour. I cannot put a date on it. I will not put a date on it. I have no idea. It feels close with what's happening in our country at the moment, what's happening in the world at the moment, with the depopulation that they are planning. It all lines up with Scripture. But we don't know the day or the hour. What I do know is we have to be prepared. We are to have no fear, and that we are to trust in Yehovah as we press into Him. This scripture is also speaking of Yehovah's will through His throne of power. Yah has been showing us through Matityahu 24 that all the end time discussions actually was filled in 70 AD. Yeshua told the people standing there that they would see these things in their generation, in Yeshua's generation, and in 70 AD they did. And Matityahu 25 falls hot on its heels and speaks of the sheep and the goats at the coming of the wrath. Some get stumped here and think that this is our future, mostly because of what they have been taught by the doctrines of man. But I don't believe it is. In Matityahu 25 verse 34, it says, "And the king shall say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed Baba of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Inherit the kingdom prepared for you by the foundation of the world. Sheol is also speaking of the power of Yehovah upon us as our inheritance. He spoke of Yah's plan for us from the foundation of the world, which we read in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. When he said, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be set apart and blameless before him in love. Unfortunately, many people have never seen the very thing Sheol portrayed for people to see, because they do not realize that the words of Yeshua speak the very same power that the believers inherited, to be set apart and blameless as planned from the foundations of the world. Sheol was just repeating what Yeshua said. Eliyahu was raised up to heaven by chariots of fire. Elisha walked the earth with chariots of fire all around him. This to me speaks of Yeshua, who was raised to heavenly places by the glory of the Father. And the same power, he was raised up, but the same power is upon us as we walk on this earth. We have the chariots of fire protecting us on this earth. It took Yeshua to glory, and it is upon the earth while we are still mortal. In fact, I believe this is what Sheol meant when he said in Romans 8 verse 11. In Romans 8 verse 11 it says, "And if the spirit of him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Messiah from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit dwelling in you." The Ruach, or the spirit that raised Yeshua up, is upon us to empower our mortal bodies, our living bodies. That is not talking about the rapture, because the very next verse shows us the benefit of having this spirit quicken our mortal bodies not immortal, not dead bodies. In Romans 8, verses 12 to 13, it says, "So then, brothers, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. The ruach upon us is like the chariots of fire that carried away Eliyahu. It raised Yeshua, and it's upon us to quicken our mortal bodies so that we do not have to live after the flesh, but by the power of the Ruach HaKodesh that crushes the deeds of the flesh instead. We have fiery chariots with us. They represent the power with which Yehovah raised up Yeshua from the dead. Yeshua himself said that there is more abundantly given to those who have and believe. And as I said in the beginning in Matityahu chapter 13 verse 12, for whoever possesses, to him more shall be given and shall have overflowingly. But whoever does not possess, even what he possesses shall be taken away from him." And Shaul said in Ephesians 3, 19 and 20, "To know the love of Messiah, which surpasses knowledge, in order that you might be filled to all the completeness of Elohim, and to him who is able to do exceedingly above what we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us." Yehovah is able to give us far beyond anything we can ask for or imagine. Some people need healing. Some people need a roof over their head. Some people need work. Some people need continual work. Believe it, you will receive it. Have you got that revelation yet? I know Malachi and I have. We praise him for what he has done in our daily lives, where he has brought us from and what he has raised us to, as well as for all the blessings we've received, not just through the Ruach, but also materially. We're not super rich, but we have a roof over our head. We have food in our cupboard. We have a car to drive. We have all that we need. To us, we are rich. We don't want for anything because Yehovah has always supplied. We have debts that come in, big things that collapse and break or things. Absolutely miraculously gives us the money to pay for them. Yehovah allows us that time to save, and all of a sudden something happens and the money's there. We had no idea this was going to happen, but the money is still there. We feel richly blessed in everything that he has called us to do and asked us to do. Most people our ages aren't still working and doing what we do. They've retired. But we don't retire until we go to be with him. And we will keep going until we can no longer stand. Because we serve him. We don't serve man. We are in absolute awe of what he has done for us. So I want to read you now my favorite scripture of mine. It comes out of Ephesians. It's Ephesians 4 verses 11 to 16. And it said, I've read this scripture before, "And he gave himself some as emissaries, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as shepherds, and some as teachers. And the perfecting of the set apart ones to the work of service, to a building up of the body of the Messiah, until we all come to the unity of the belief and of the knowledge of the Son of Elohim, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the completeness of the Messiah, so that we should no longer be children tossed and borne about by every wind of teaching, by the trickery of men in cleverness, into the craftiness of leading astray. But maintaining the truth in love, we grew up in all respects into him who is the head, the Messiah, from whom the entire body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the working by which each part does its share. causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Many people will speak of verse 11, of which I have done, saying that we've all got a ministry, we've all got a gift that Yehovah uses. But you can't have verses 12 to 16 without verse 11. And verse 11 by itself is nice, but it really doesn't have any meaning. It's just a statement. So we have to continue the full meaning. You have to be careful that we don't take scripture out of context. The heavenly places is the seating we have with Yeshua. We have to grow up into the head. We have to rise to the stature of Yeshua. In other words, we need to realize this power of Yehovah on Yeshua in his resurrection is upon us now. We are seated with him in effect. And that is like saying we've come to his stature, to be like him. If we are in end times, now is the time to work as a whole body, supporting each other, building each other up, and not focusing on others' weaknesses. We have to let go of the weaknesses and help each other. But Yehovah blinds those who reject Yeshua. As the armies of Syria were blinded and taken into captivity, Yeshua said in Matthew 13 and 12, that which people have will be taken away if they do not receive his words. While believers see some things and know Yeshua saved them and set them free, Yeshua wants them to see more. There's more to salvation than being set free from their bondage. But those who reject him, what little they do see, like the armies of Syria, will be taken totally away from them, and they are captured by Hasatan. In Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw Yehovah sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the hechal, or the temple. And further down in verse 5, it says, and I said, woe to me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King of Yehovah of hosts, Yehovah Zevaot. When Yeshayahu was cleansed, Yehovah showed him his uncleanness, and then he saw more. Yehovah then gave him his commission. In Yeshayahu chapter 6, verses 9 to 12, he said, go and you shall say to this people, hearing you hear, but do not understand, and seeing you see, but do not know. Make the heart of this people fat and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and shall turn and be healed. Then I said, Yehovah, until when? And he answered, until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, and the land is laid waste, a ruin. And Yehovah has removed men far away, and the forsaken places be many in the midst of the land. Things have not changed today, especially in the Middle East. Since then, and since Yeshua, sometimes they look better, but over in the Middle East, things are dire. Iran is heading up to get its nuclear weapons within the next 2 months. The Taliban and ISIS have now been released into Afghanistan. Lebanon is now attacking Israel as well as Gaza and the West Bank. The Middle East is in dire straits. In Yochanan chapter John, chapter 12, verse 35, Yeshua said, therefore said to them, yet a little while the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. And he who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. And verses 37 to 41 goes on. But though he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe him, that the word of Yeshayahu, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Yehovah, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of Yehovah been revealed. Because of this, they were unable to believe, because again, Yeshayahu said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, so that they should not see with their eyes and understand with their heart, and turn, and I should heal them. And Yeshayahu said when he saw this, when he saw his honour and spoke of him. Israel rejected Yeshua and was blinded and taken into destruction or captivity for 40 years. Later, like the Syrians, they were blinded and led into captivity to Samaria or Shomron. And in Luke 17, 28 to 30, it says, and likewise, as it came to be in the days of Lot, they were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. And on the day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed all. It shall be the same in the day the son of Adam is revealed. I want you to think about Lot. In Bereshit chapter 13, verse 13, but the men of Sodom were evil and sinned before Yehovah exceedingly so. Men of Sodom were sodomites, homosexuals. They sought to take even the messengers or the angels of Elohim and lay with them when the messengers came to rescue Lot from the destruction. But Elohim took Lot out and destroyed the kingdom with the Sodomites in it. And we read something in Romans that this foreshadows. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 32, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of the good news of the Messiah. For it is the power of Elohim for deliverance to everyone who believes, to the Yehudi first and also to the Greek. This verse is one that's memorized for new believers in Christianity. But they stop there and go no further. But I'm going to continue. In verse 17 it says, for in it the righteousness of Elohim is revealed from belief to belief. As it has been written, but the righteousness shall live by belief. For the wrath of Elohim is revealed from heaven against all wickedness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known of Elohim is manifest among them. For Elohim has manifested it to them. For since the creation of this world, his invisible qualities have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, both his everlasting power and mightiness, for them to be without excuse. Because although they knew Elohim, they did not honour him as Elohim, nor give thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their undiscerning heart was darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and changed the honour of the incorruptible Elohim into the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed beasts, and of reptiles. Therefore, Elohim gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to disrespect their bodies among themselves, who changed the truth of Elohim into the falsehood, and worshipped and served what was created rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Because of this, Elohim gave them over to degrading passions, for even their women exchanged natural relations to that of a sin against nature. And likewise, the men also, having left natural relations with women, burned their lust for one another, men with men, committing indecency and receiving back the reward which was due for their straying. And even as they did not think it worthwhile to possess the knowledge of Elohim, Elohim gave them over to a worthless mind, to do what is improper, having been filled with all unrighteousness, whoring, wickedness, greed, evil, filled with envy, murder, fighting, deceit, evil habits, whisperers, slanderers, haters of Elohim, insolent, proud, boasters, devisers of evil, disobedient to parents, without discernment, covenant breakers, unloving, unforgiving, ruthless, those who thought they know the righteousness of Elohim, that those who practice these such deserve death. Not only do the same, but also approve those who practice them. These verses in Romans speak of a revelation of salvation. People who believe see the righteousness of Yehovah revealed upon them. But the ones who hold the truth in unrighteousness are people who know better but reject it. And Yah takes away that what they can see and makes them blind. In other words, he gives them over to a reprobate mind to do the things that nobody would ever otherwise do, such as what is happening with world leaders of this world, our country, and even our state. We are living this kind of life now. Many of these people know what Yehovah said about judgment, but have the pleasure in pushing their agenda on the people of whom they are supposed to be working. These are they that are blind. Let us appreciate what Yah has shown us and seek to see more and understand the messages given through his word. Let us live life to the praise of the glory of his grace that he has bestowed on us who believe. If you can truly see Yeshua risen, you will see his power on you. If Elisha could see Eliyahu when he left, he would have double portion. The double portion is available to you today. Don't succumb to the Satanists of this world. Let me finish with these last two scriptures and the words of Yeshua speaking to Nathanael, who was known to be without guile or deviousness, in Yochanan chapter 1, verse 15. Yeshua answered him and said, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? Greater than you, greater than that you shall see." And in Yochanan chapter 14 and verse 12, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these he shall do, because I go to my Father." You are blessed because you are the ones who have eyes that see and ears that hear the true and living word of Elohim. And may your blessings continue as you press into him. Do not fear the gods of this world. They are their father, Hasatan. Many are actual Satanists. Trust in Yehovah with all your heart, that he purposed for you for such a time as this. He knows that you will not buckle under. Stay strong, be strengthened by each other and your faith in Yehovah. Does anyone have any questions? Did that help anyone? Did that give you encouragement to hang in there? Because that was my aim today.